Everyone, my name is Dr. Poppy Moon. I am a associate professor at the University of Louisiana Monroe. Today I want to talk about preparing and transitioning into being a school counselor. So this is mostly for graduate students who are starting to think about what is it going to be in the future when I'm a school counselor? What should I start to think about? But this is also for counselors who have decided that they may be going to a new school district and they want to kind of think about what they would like for their program to seem like. So let's think about, you got a crystal ball. So think about as you step into your school counseling journey, I want you to have a role where you're thinking about your beliefs, your skills, and your action, and how that's going to shape the community and the students that you're going to work with. So right now, think about where do you see yourself as a school counselor in 5 years? What impact is important? What impact do you want to make on the students and the people you work with? What are your beliefs that are going to guide you as you go through your program? And as you go through, once you start, you're going to start making revisions. You're going to be like, yeah, and I liked that. No, I didn't like that. What do I think about students' potential? How can I start to make sure that I am giving value to their lives? So if you start thinking about it now, when you're in the future, you can look back and say, okay, these things didn't work. What am I going to change? What am I going to do differently? But as a school counselor, you need to have some key beliefs. And I have a little superhero on here because I'm going to talk about superpowers. So the first belief that you should have is that every student can learn and achieve high standards. Now, does that mean it's going to look the same for all students? Absolutely not. It doesn't. But for each student's learning level, you need to believe that they can reach high standards at that point. So let's say that you have X-ray vision, your superpower. You have X-ray vision for student potential. And so when students doubt in themselves, you are the one that can see the greatness inside them. So how are you going to help pull that greatness out so that they will be able to unleash it? The second thing that you need to believe is every child deserves a safe and respectful environment. So your superpower is you can create force fields of safety. So the school is a place where every student feels valued and they feel respected. So what do you want your force field to look like when it's in action? Belief number three is all students can benefit from an effective counseling program. So, as a superpower, you are a master architect. You design counseling programs and you're working very hard to meet every student's need, and you're working on building a path that's going to be let every student be successful. So, how are you going to make your program in a way that you can reach every student? All right, the fourth belief is collaboration is the key to success. And your superpower is that you have a superhero team. You have lots of skills to be able to work with other people. So you're going to be working with families, teachers, community members, and students, and you're going to work to make those powerful partnerships that they can work together. So what is the greatest strength of the team that you can think of that you want to have? Okay, so you have a mission. The heart of everything is the role of a counselor. So you're going to be the person that students are turning to for support and guidance. They want to hear your understanding. You are going to be the one person that has a lot of empathy. You are learning right now in your classes how to have listening skills, how to have compassion, and you need to be able to like build trust and open doors for these students. It's going to help them thrive. So think about, how am I going to make a school environment where students feel safe to express themselves? What qualities are you going to prioritize to bring strong connections together with your students? Another thing that you are going to be is a leader. You are going to guide change and set the vision for your school. So as a school leader, you're going to spearhead programs that support student success and lead school-wide initiatives. Now, remember, you don't have to do this all alone. Another part of it, like I have on here, is the school counselor is a collaborator. So they work with lots of different people to make sure things happen. So as you have this vision for your program, it's very important that you be able to pull people in and collaborate them so that you're working together to have this school environment that's fostering growth and fostering learning. You are also a change agent. You are an advocate. You champion equity and access to people. So you really need to know that you have to be a tireless advocate. And sometimes it gets very old being the advocate for students because you'll run up against people who have beliefs about students that or just aren't true, that they may be outdated or they might not like students because of a certain gender, or if they are in the LGBTQ plus community. You may have some people at the school that push back on that. So as an advocate, you are going to be the one that's making sure kids are getting resources and support that they need, regardless of their background and whatever they think about. You're also going to be a consultant. And consultants are important because you don't always know the right way to go. You will have situations come up at school and you're like, ah, I don't know how to do this. And you will build bridges between other counselors in your school district. So you know that you can call them up and say, hey, I have this really weird situation. I'm not sure where to go. And they can help you with that. You can also consult with families. I'm working with your student. I'm very concerned about them. What are some things at home that you can do and things at school that I can do to kind of help them connect and have a better, more success at school? You're also going to work with the community as a consultant. You want to find out, how can the community help me? Businesses in the community, how can they come together with me and make my program better? So with your crystal ball, these are things that I want you to specifically think about. Number one is the community. What are the community demographics? And this matters because if you understand the population of the community, that helps you tailor the program to their specific needs that they have. So you need to look and see what ethnic, racial, and cultural composition is the school made up of. What's the socioeconomic status of families? What's their income level, employment rates? What is the age distribution? The community that I was in, where I taught, the parents were very, very young. And I had to take that into account when we were having meetings with parents or when I was talking to a parent, because I never wanted them to feel like I was speaking to them as an adult with power. You know, I wanted to speak with them on their level so that they felt that I took them very seriously and I wanted to work with them. You also need to think, what languages do they speak? Are parents bilingual? Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. So when you communicate with them, you might need a translator if they can help you out with things. You also need to look at cultural norms and values. You need to know the cultural context, and that helps you develop culturally responsive approaches when working with students and families. And a lot of us, like me, I have a lot of white privilege. I am not always familiar with other multicultural communities. So one of the things that I work on in my professional development is, how can I learn more about that? How can I help this specific group and understand the different things about them that they have? What are their practices and traditions? What are their holidays? Sometimes they have different views on education. So they might, maybe mental health is not important to them, or maybe they are wary of mental health services. And so you need to look at that, and you need to look at the family values regarding student behavior and academic success. That may take you a while, and that's okay, but it's something that you think about and you know that you need to work on it. Another thing about the community is economic conditions. Why does this matter? The financial stability of the community can affect students' academic performance. So if you have a district that's in poverty, that can affect mental health, and it can affect them being able to learn in the school environment. You still also have very different problems if you're in a wealthier school district. So you just need to be aware of those. But think about, do they have basic access to housing and food? Do they know the programs that they can apply for to get community assistance? Do you know what those community resources are? And that's important for you to know, because you will be connecting families to these external resources, and that can greatly support their well-being. I'm thinking about like local agencies, if you have food banks in the area, housing assistance and healthcare. The school that I was at, Mercedes-Benz they built cars in the area. So they had donated a lot of these really big Suburbans that they had, and they would go and pick children up at their homes, because I was in a rural school. A lot of them didn't have cars in the family to be able to take a child to the doctor. So this was a resource that I knew about, and I really heavily relied on them to help me out when students needed to go to the dentist or just go see a pediatrician. So knowing things in your community that you can connect them with is very important. The next thing is, I think that's everything that I wanted to tell you about the community. Oh, here's another one. Let me go right back to the community. It's important also that you know the local policies and politics of the area. Policies at the local or state level can impact the funding that the school gets, the student services they have, like do they get free breakfast or do they have to pay for it, and their educational priorities. So check out the local government structure and the influence that it has on education. And as I said before, that you're going to be an advocate, You need to know about these policies so that you can go and you can advocate for yourself, maybe like community meetings or other places where you can go and you can speak out about the needs of the kids in schools. Another thing is safety and health issues. If you have an environment in the community where they're unable to take care of safety and health needs, that's something that you need to look into. Like, what are crime rates in the community? Accessibility of mental health services, can they get those? Substance abuse and homelessness. A lot of times my kids would have food insecurity, and I was able to partner with a resource in my community that provided food for children over the weekends when they didn't have access to food at school. Okay, so let me move on. That's a lot to think about. All right, the second thing that you need to think about is the school. What is the makeup of the student body? And that helps you really tailor your services for specific populations. So again, you're checking out the racial, ethnic, and cultural diversity of your students. You're looking at special education. How many students are English language learners? Like, what are the percentages about that? What are the percentages of gender distribution? You also want to take a look at the school climate. And this is something important that I want you to do before you accept a position at a school. School climate is important. If it's positive, it's great. You can have a really good impact there. But sometimes school climates are very negative. And that can be the staff is negative. It can be that the students are have so such discipline problems or so many needs that there's no way that the teachers can meet those. So the teachers start to feel very stressed out. Is the administration active? I have seen schools where the teachers are having behavioral problems. They go to the administration for assistance, and the administration doesn't really help them out very much. That can be very frustrating for students. And I have noticed a lot now, it seems like kids are having behaviors that are more than a teacher could possibly deal with. And they're also asking teachers to take on lots of students with IEPs or 504 plans, and they're just becoming exhausted. And that can turn the school environment where you have bad dynamics. So look at that. Look at this teacher and student relationships. How does that work? What are the attitudes that the staff have about the school counseling program? I hear a lot of times that teachers will get frustrated because they will send a child to the counselor for some type of behavior issue that they need, and the counselor talks to them, and then they send them back to the class. But the student still has the problem behavior. And you have to think about, how can I tell the teachers that I'm like, okay, let me go back a little bit and let me say this. Whenever a student comes to see me, the things that I want to do is talk about the problem. I want to give them two skills that they can take back to the classroom with themselves that reminds them of the new skills. I'll give them a little notebook card and I'll say, you can put this at the top of your desk or you can keep this in your binder. But these are the things that we're working on. And then I want to feel like they feel better when they go back to class. So if a teacher will say, well, the school counselor didn't do anything, they just talked to the kid and nothing changes. Well, yeah, okay. Things aren't going to change magically just because you sent them to the counselor. But I can say, look, we worked on these two skills together. You can also follow up with these skills in the classroom and we can work together because you want the counseling relationship with the staff to be good. You need to realize too that as a school counselor, you're not a teacher anymore. So if you were a teacher, then you need to recognize that you need to move away from that group and that you as a school counselor are different and you provide different services to them. Also, they need to know that when a student comes to talk to you, that that's confidential. And I always say teachers would come and be like, oh, did you talk to them? What'd you find out? And I would say, I promise I will tell you what you need to know to help the student to be successful in class. But the rest of that I have to keep confidential. And so that keeps a lot of gossiping out of the way, and it lets them know that you have these boundaries that you have set. So talked about behavior. So what type of academic expectations and challenges are going on there? We need to know how academic performance is prioritized and how it's supported in the school. So it's important for counselors to be able to look at data, standardized test scores, graduation rates, post-secondary outcomes, all of these things are important. And the reason that this is important is even though it tells parent even though it tells the teachers the academic skills the students need to be working on, you as the school counselor can make your program built in a way that it supports that. So if you look at the data and you say, hey, this group of kids are doing really poorly in math, then you could come in and teach skills on test taking in math or anxiety levels when you're going into test taking. So you can work with them and help these academic challenges help the students meet goals that they really want to. Okay, so that's, yeah, I told you that. Okay. The best part, I think the best part is as you move on into the school, you will get to think about your office. Your office is a special place, hopefully that's just yours. My first year, I had a tiny office that was fine. I enjoyed it. But then the next year, I got my own classroom, which is exciting because I had never had a classroom before. So here's a picture of the front of my classroom. It's very busy because I like stuff that students give me, and I would always put it on the wall. Here's a fun time. We had a one of our SROs came to the school and he did a presentation, and the kids really enjoyed hanging out with him. After that year that I had my beautiful classroom, oh, we ran out of space. So I was put in a portable out in the back. And this portable looked like it had fallen from the sky and like from the tornado in the Wizard of Oz. It just came down and just splatted there, and that was where it was. I did not like being out in the portable because it was very lonely and it was hard for kids to come out and get to me. But here's a picture of one side where I had my office in the trailer, and then here is the other side that I had. I love costumes. I like to let kids dress up in costumes when they are trying out different things. So like we would do a skit on introductions and the kids would dress up. The other classmates would watch them practice introduction skills or whatever we were doing. To make the clothes fit everybody, I would go and cut them up the back. So that way anybody can just pull it through the armholes, and even if it doesn't fit the rest of them, it doesn't matter. Kids thought this was absolutely hilarious because boys could dress up as girls, vice versa, and it was just a lot of fun. So I started just kind of getting clothes from Goodwill as I would see like a prom dress or if I see something that just kind of piqued my interest. Another thing that I also had was a whole bunch of puppets. So we could put on puppet shows depending on what we were talking about. So that's my office. So just start thinking about what you want it to look like. And it may look very busy to you, but, and I think now that I'm more a minimalist, that maybe it wouldn't be so busy, but I still had a lot of fun doing it. The last thing that you need to do is think about your students. Like, who are they, and how am I going to look into their hearts? I think that counselors are very special because we're able to look into our students and we're able to see that tiny spark that's inside of them that makes them who they are. If you can do that, no matter how annoying the student is or how frustrating they are, as long as you look for that and you think, I'm going to try to figure out how I can bring this out of them. Maybe they have a lot of behavior problems and you're just like, how can I meet them in that one area that I know that they need help with? How can I meet their emotional needs? How can I support them academically? Or how can I support them in terms of attendance? Like, how can I get them to, how can I get them to come to school? How can I work on that? So sit down when you start and think about who these kids are and what you know that you can do with them. And as you enter your counseling program, think about this throughout your different classes. How will this apply to my school? How will this apply to the community? How will I use this with my students? Because everything that you learn in your program, it's good for something, even though you may not think of it right when you're doing it. As you move into practicum and internship and you start working at a school, note the things that you like and the things that you don't like. Think about when I'm a school counselor, I'm not going to do treat kids how this counselor does, or I don't want to do classroom lessons like she does. And that's okay. But you need to start making a mental list so when you become a counselor, you have a vision of what you want to be. So I think that was kind of me telling you everything that you should know. Let me think about anything else. No, oh, well, let me tell you one more thing about students that I think is important. It's very important that you be able to work with parents. And parents will have different relationships with kids depending on the area that you live in. I think the most important thing is figuring out how you can collaborate with parents to make them feel successful.